looking at the topic of peace. And peace is something that I wanted to talk about mainly because I struggle with it. I wanted to know more about it. For someone that's doing a lesson on peace today, I have not been even close. I've been nervous. I've been stressed. I think I've spent all day wondering if I would trip up these stairs and embarrass myself somehow. As I'm getting ready, I'm talking to Michael, and I find out that Michael doesn't like leading singing, so that didn't really help me out a lot. And then I have Kaylin, my fiance, who last few days has been saying, hey, you should give me a shout-out somewhere. Make sure you give me a shout-out. So I'm supposed to do that, so here you go. Here's your shout-out. But tonight, we're going to be looking at the topic of peace. And it's so interesting that when you look at this idea of peace, so many people in the world don't fully know what it is. That there's so many people trying to tell us what peace is, and there's so many people who I think are genuinely searching for peace in their lives, and yet they don't have any clue what real, lasting peace is. When you look at a biblical definition of peace, and you look at all the things that go into that, you're going to find out that it has, that the word has a background or a root in this idea of achieving stability. The way that you would fasten something down, maybe on your car, and trying to achieve this idea of stability. And whether you and I realize it or not, we are all searching for some kind of stability in our lives. There's got to be at least one area or aspect of our lives where we are searching for stability and peace, whether it's in our schoolwork or our family, our relationship with God, our struggles with temptation and sin at times. It can be even things like our health, our finances, maybe even making music, if that's actually something that you have problems with peace in. But for a Christian, we can know that peace can be achieved, that true lasting peace is possible, that there's not some hard, difficult secret, that it doesn't take many years of meditation, it doesn't take some big experience in your life for it to happen, but it's something that comes from God. And something that God, as we see through Scripture, is wanting us to have. That God is offering us this true, lasting peace that we can have in our lives. Tonight, I would like for us to turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and briefly just kind of look at what Paul has to say about peace. Paul, in beginning in verse 4, is going to begin to tell us about this peace that surpasses understanding, this peace that comes from God. And he begins by almost outlining this plan for us on how we can strive out and achieve this godly peace. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So again, we see that Paul begins to outline this plan in helping us to achieve this peace. And he begins by telling us that we need to be rejoicing in the Lord. Specifically, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. That in whatever situation we're in, whatever is going on in our lives, we should be able to rejoice in God. And I think that's a great place to start, because you and I can't fully have this peace that comes from God if we can't first rejoice and realize what an amazing and powerful God it is that we serve. We have to first be able to realize how great God is, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, despite the many times when we don't deserve it. And we need to realize that God is powerful enough to have this effect in our lives, that it's something that he offers to us and that he is capable of giving us. He then goes on to tell us that our reasonableness needs to be known to everybody. Now, another way that we could say this is that when we are seen interacting with people and when we treat people, that we need to treat them with gentleness and patience, that we should be known by others for as people who are gentle and patient with those that we interact with, that even those who we may not have a great relationship with, people that we might not even know, people that may be trying to fight against us in some way, that we need to have gentleness and patience when we interact with those people. One of the commentaries I read in preparation for this said that this is the mindset of someone who allows God to fight their battles for them. That they don't worry about these situations on their own and they don't feel like they have to deal with it, but instead they allow God to fight for them and allow God to take care of those situations for us. To be at peace means allowing God to fight our battles for us. That we can't go in alone, but we have to be willing to not just rely on God, but to give it up solely to Him and allow God to do that for us. Paul then goes on to tell us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. Paul begins to tell us to not be anxious, but to go to God in prayer. That when we're struggling or that when we're dealing with certain problems, we should be able to go to God and ask for help. And it's so interesting to see that we serve a God who loves and cares about us enough to want to hear our prayers. That whatever the situation is, God wants us to be willing to come to Him and to ask for help and to bring those prayers to Him. That though God already knows the situation, He wants us to have a relationship with Him where we are able to confidently go to God and ask for help in times of trouble. So now that Paul has kind of outlined this plan, he begins to describe this peace that we receive from God, this peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what we're striving for. This is what we're hoping to achieve in our lives. This peace that comes from God that is so far superior and so greater than any peace we could hope to create in our lives. And it's not this idea that is impossible. When we think about how it surpasses all understanding, it doesn't mean that it's so complicated and confusing that we couldn't hope to understand it. But it means that it's so far above finite beings. We can look in places like Ephesians 3:19, where Paul talks about how the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. And in the same way, though we can't fully understand it, that doesn't make it any less important, doesn't make it any less achievable, it doesn't make it any less present in our lives. And the same is true for this peace that we receive from God. Paul then tells us that this peace is going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is going to take care of us, is going to protect us. Paul here uses this almost military-esque terminology when describing it, that he uses this peace and talks about it the same way that he would talk about a guard protecting a country or the way a wall would protect a city. That this peace is capable of providing and helping us and guarding us in times of trouble, in times of difficult situation, in times of temptation. That this peace is capable of helping us through that. Though this isn't a physical protection, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul talks about how though our bodies are withering away, our minds are being renewed daily. That this peace is capable of protecting us spiritually, protecting us mentally in times of difficulty, knowing that God is taking care of us and is taking care of us spiritually despite what is happening to our bodies. And then jumping down to verses 8 and 9, we see Paul kind of tell us how we can help to maintain it. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, If there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, he's telling us how we can maintain it. And basically, the gist behind this is he's saying that we need to focus our lives on the things that are good, the things that are honorable, the things that come from God, if we want to maintain this peace. That we can't continue to be influenced by sin or allow ourselves to be influenced by the world and hope to achieve this peace that comes from God. That we need to be able to move past that and go and focus and live in a way that is good and honorable and pure. Now, going down to verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, I know how to abound, and in every situation I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul here is, whether he means to or not, is showing us the effect that this peace has on his life. That because of this peace that he's received from God, he knows that whatever situation he's in, he can be content. That he doesn't have to worry about anything, that he doesn't have to be anxious about anything, but he knows that God is going to provide and take care of him. Even to the point where he can confidently say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That God will take care of us, and he knows that he can do all things because of this confidence that comes from God. It's so interesting to me to think about where Paul is while he's writing Philippians. Paul, right now as he's writing this, is sitting in a prison cell, possibly awaiting his own death. That he's been imprisoned, and before that he's been beaten, he's been shipwrecked, he's constantly having to travel from town to town because people are trying to kill him, all because of what he's been preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to me to think that through everything that Paul has gone through, while he's sitting in his own prison cell, possibly awaiting his death, he can confidently say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I'm not worrisome or I'm not anxious about anything, that I don't have any needs, but I'm content. That I'm with God and I know that God will provide for me no matter what. It just amazes me that he can have this kind of mindset after everything that he's gone through, after everything that's happening to him, and it's because of that peace that he's experienced in his life. That peace that comes from God. As we close tonight, I'd ask that you all turn back over to Romans 5. Romans 5. I appreciate Lucas reading this earlier for us. But I want to pick up in verse 6, where he left off. It says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. This peace isn't possible, and it isn't attainable unless we are first in a right relationship with God. The verses that Lucas read to us earlier, we can see that through Christ we have peace with God. That without Christ and without his sacrifice, we are merely just enemies with God. Enemies with no hope of having any kind of relationship with God. But because of Christ and what Christ has done for us and how he has reconciled us to God, we can have peace with God. That we can have a relationship with God, a relationship that will hopefully last on into eternity when we get to be with Him in heaven. But that's only achievable through Christ and through baptism, to put away all the sin in our lives and to focus on God, to be baptized into Christ and to become a new creation. Only then, once we've achieved this peace with God, can we achieve this peace within ourselves. Only then can we have this peace that comes directly from God, this peace that God wants us to have and wants us to be a part of. Tonight, I ask if you're at peace with God. What kind of relationship are you in with God? Are you an enemy with God? Or have you made peace with Him? Have you tried to enter a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? As we come and sing the song, you'll have the opportunity to do that. I would encourage you that if you have a need, please make sure you do something about it as we stand and as we sing.